friendly reminder that Coast to Coast Hoops is sponsored by Better. That is B-E-T-R. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better, B-E-T-R, or Better.app now. Sign up today and you'll get a free $10, no deposit necessary. A warm and friendly hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you as we're going to be joined in a few minutes by one of our good friends, Rob Donaldson, who does such a great job with the show slash podcast, Rob's Best Bets. We're going to be chatting it up with him about some of the last second things that he takes a look at before the start of the upcoming college basketball season. If there's any teams that unexpectedly he's been feeling a little bit more bullish slash bearish on, just some of the characteristics in general that he takes a look at in non-conference play as well, because now we are less than a week away from actual games starting up with Rob. I have yet to do the conversation. I'm sure that there will be a feature conference or two, and that's always going to be a lot of fun as Rob, he does a great job of breaking down all 365 Division I teams, so we are going to have a great time chatting it up with him. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we'll fire those in. First one is my Twitter slash X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via the 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter slash X questions today, everything is powered by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost is making sure that bettors are able to access their funds whenever and wherever. With EdgeBoost, 100% of gambling transactions do get approved. And when you go to edgeboost.bet, make sure you utilize that promo code of Greg, G-R-E-G. That'll get you $1 for $1 match on your first deposit up to $25. And before we do dive in with Rob, if you're looking for any of the conference previews I did here in the offseason, they're all on the playlist, whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, list goes on and on. I did a specialized conference preview podcast for all 31 conferences. Now, because I had to do them during the offseason, there were some that were done during the summertime, and there's always going to be a little bit of movement from there. And when it comes to the picks and analysis that I'll be giving you guys on every single game, every single day, those will all be noted there. I tried to make them as evergreen as you humanly possible. Obviously, that is a effort that sometimes falls a little bit short, but you know what? I think that we did a relatively good job this offseason, and a man that always does an amazing job is Rob. I know that he is hard at work getting set for what is going to be an absolutely tremendous college basketball season. You're able to follow him on the old Twitter slash X at RobDFB altogether. And Rob, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, Greg. And you said it in kind of our pregame little meetup here, but my goodness, this is our last talk together before actually breaking down real games that are happening on the hardwood. Oh my gosh, the spreads are going to be at 28.5. We got a mid-major going up against Kansas or Purdue or Duke, and I can't wait to take those points with whoever that may be. But yeah, man, very, very excited for the college basketball season. There's so many storylines feeding into the season as well, and I'm just happy to be here talking about it with you today.
Oh, I am right there with you, and we're going to have random day games out there in South Carolina, and then we're going to have random night games out there in Hawaii. That is going to be so much fun. I am so very much looking forward to that. And Rob, I am very much looking forward to what we're going to be getting with regards to those first few weeks of games. Because you said it, you're going to be taking a lot of points with some of these teams that maybe they're just catching a few too many. We're going to have a lot of lopsided spreads over the first few weeks of the season. And how do you take a look at these first few weeks? Because I do think that sometimes they can be a little bit tricky, and there are certain underdogs that provide a lot of value. And then, as we know, sometimes when you see a plus 30, you're thinking, oh, I'm getting 30 points. And some of those teams don't necessarily yield the value that you're expecting.
And I think the ultimate point is to take the dogs in the games where you feel like the team that's laying the number is a little bit overinflated based on last year's results, right? And I think one of the big teams that we've talked about during this kind of off-season period here, at least in my opinion, is a team like Florida, where I think they're still going to be a good team. Heck, they could be a lot better than even I am kind of, you know, billing them as heading in here. But the way they dominated during the regular season last year, obviously en route to a national championship when they hit the postseason play, And now they're turning over a lot of different roster pieces in some really key areas. All of a sudden, when you are seeing these 40-point spreads or 35-point spreads, that everybody's just going to inherently give Florida a chance to blow the other team out of the water because it's the same old Florida. That's where I don't really buy in to that narrative. And I want to take the points on that side. Maybe a team like a Duke, who is turning over a Cooper Flagg type player. Sure, they are still going to be talented, but maybe not just as talented as they were last year. That's where I think the margins at the top end of college basketball really need to be evaluated properly. And usually this time of year, they just aren't.
Yep, and I do think that that is so interesting to look at because there are certain teams that they are just not necessarily providing the bang for your buck that you'd expect as big giant favorites. And then there are some teams that are very tried and true in being able to cover these spreads as well. And I'm typically not a guy that looks at historical spread data and everything like that because there is so much roster turnover. But when it comes to non-conference play, how much do you want to trust in? I'm going to spitball one here. And Iowa State, who has been known to absolutely crush these teams in 30 to 35 point spreads. And it feels like under TJ Otzelberger, they actually do cover those numbers.
Yeah, and even a team like a Tennessee, for example, that Houston. Has that kind of Houston, another great example, these physical style of teams that it's almost a style that ends up burying a team because the other team on the other side of the ball never feels comfortable in those games. And what really ends up kind of leading to a lot of these plucky mid-major teams that have a chance to not only win outright as that 20-point underdog, but maybe kind of keep it within the number is kind of more the realistic approach game by game. It's the ability to hit those jumpers. And when you are going up against a style that's in your face, that is suffocating, that can really build out an early lead and just kill that excitement that the mid-major has coming in, those are the types of games that you really want to be wary of. Texas Tech is another one where if they decide they want to punch you in the mouth, they can punch you in the mouth and just do it all game long. And so, yeah, you mentioned Iowa State. There's a lot of teams that stylistically probably wouldn't be the teams I take my shots on in terms of the dog column there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then with regards to some of these mid-major teams that you don't want to take a shot on, as Rob Donaldson, who does such great work with the show/podcast, Rob's Best Bets, he's joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. There are teams with distinct styles that I always love. Like, I always think that the teams like Abilene Christian, Stephen F. Austin, that play that unique style, generate a bunch of turnovers, always offer a lot of value. It's these teams that are very mundane and don't hit the boards very well that I'm always a little bit cautious of. I'm sorry, but a team like at East Texas A&M who gets absolutely blasted on the glass. I know that Prairie View actually generates some turnovers, but they're always like dead last with regards to rebounds as well. Those are the teams that even when you're getting those 25 to 30 points, those are the teams where I think it really becomes a roll of the dice.
Yeah, and also when you're kind of pegging some of these mid-major teams that are at the bottom or kind of in that middle tier of their own, let's just say, you know, the Big South or Big Sky or whatever it may be, what you are going to find in a lot of those programs is, okay, this is a rhythm jump shot heavy team that doesn't have a lot of size. And those teams that I don't feel like have an upside defensively or an upside on the glass or an upside, true upside, say like a Furman who hits those deep balls, you know, from three and those jumpers extremely well over the years. Maybe you are willing to kind of almost lay those big numbers, but again, it becomes a tug of war of, hey, if you got Duke on one side, inherently in the first month of the season, I just think Duke is just one of those overinflated line teams because everybody wants to bet on Duke and the sports books know that. And so the lines are going to be very, very egregious no matter who they're playing. They could be playing Gardner Webb or South Carolina Upstate. It doesn't matter. I think in a lot of these types of spots, you have to kind of weigh perception and say, all right, does the sports book kind of knowingly lay this minus 40 out there because they know people are going to be willingly laying it 5 points above maybe where it actually should be? I do think that's ends up kind of what ends up being the case in the first month of the season a lot of the times.
Yeah, Ben, I do think that those early games are very, very interesting. And are there certain favorites that you find quite a bit of value on as well? Because obviously there are some underdogs that they yield value, and we just talked about some of the ones that don't. I'm sorry, Mississippi Valley State, but man, even when you're catching 40 points with Mississippi Valley State, that is a wet match in a dark cave. But But that said, are there any sort of favorites that you are going to be willing to lay the number on that maybe aren't those blue chip teams like we were talking about with Iowa State and Houston? Because it always feels like every single year, there's one of those teams that's like hovering right around about 100th, 125th or so. They're typically laying like 8 to 10 points, and they seem to cover every single one of those spreads, much like a St. Bonaventure a season ago.
Yeah, and I would even say you don't even have to even dive that deep into 120 range or the 100 range. You can actually even look at the bottom of the 20s and in the early 30s for those teams that have offensive upside and maybe almost kind of quote-unquote break character type of teams at their disposal. I think of a perfect example being Wisconsin last year, where the narrative around Wisconsin was, oh, they're going to win games 60 to 46. That's just who they are. And then immediately they came out of the gym against some respectable mid-majors. I believe Montana State was in there, and I believe Appalachian State was in there as well in the early goings. And they were drubbing those kinds of teams because the offense took a massive step forward. You also look at a team like a Missouri, for example, where they weren't really being billed as a high-end SEC team last year, but they had that sneaky offensive upside that did come to fruition. And so when you are looking at the teams that might fit in that tier, like in Oklahoma, for example, might be a team that capitalizes on some 24.5s or 26.5s or maybe even some 18.5s against respectable mid-majors. That's kind of where I want to have my hand. But yeah, if you are kind of looking deep down the board, as we've kind of talked about all offseason, there are certain mid-major conferences that are just a little bit a step above some of these other ones, and notably the A-10. And when you are looking at, say, Tony Skin and George Mason, or a VCU team that maybe not a lot of people know how to peg, or heck, even a St. Joseph's team that still has talent for being in the Philly area, but is kind of overseeing this roster turnover and coaching turnover. Maybe those are some of the upside teams out of the A-10 that I'd rather be taking a shot at rather than, you know, a WCC kind of middling team.
Yeah, Ben, I do think that it's really interesting to take a look at some of those more mid-tier teams in terms of power conferences, because those can sometimes be the most profitable teams. And I want to talk about this with Rob on the flip side, taking a look at the teams that were really profitable last year in non-conference play and the teams that were really not profitable in conference play last year, and just sort of betting the opposite of what we saw from the previous year. We typically see a lot of teams that they kill it in non-conference play a season ago, then the next year have a rough go of it, and vice versa. We'll be touching upon that. We're also going to be talking with Rob about a few teams that he's starting to feel bullish/bearish on coming into the season, and we will get you a actual game preview for one of the games for all bidding night. That's up next right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg H. Peterson, now part of the Beast Family Podcast. For anyone that is new to VSIN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSIN, because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSIN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSIN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter, and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSIN. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Eeps with myself, Greg Eeps Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It's always a pleasure to be joined by Rob Donaldson, who does such amazing work over at his YouTube feed, youtube.com/RobsBestBets. He does some great work over at Underdog Fantasy and so much more. Follow him on the old Twitter/X at RobDFB. And Rob, we left off talking about how some of the mid-tier teams can sometimes provide really good bang for your buck. And I do want to talk about this as well, because I find this every year in college basketball, where some of these teams that were incredibly profitable in the non-conference portion the previous year, they just go into the abyss, and then the next year they are some of the bigger fades, and vice versa. Some of the teams that were absolutely terrible in non-conference play the previous year, they really rise up. UConn was certainly a exception because in games not played in the great state of Hawaii, they've been really good in non-conference play really over the last 3 years. The great state of Hawaii did not treat them very well last year, but past that, they've been rock solid. But how much do you take a look at sort of what we got from a season ago with regards to these teams in non-conference play and sort of try to do the opposite this season?
Yeah, and I think one of the things to kind of key in on there is you don't have to necessarily peg the big splash reversal of fortune team, right? You don't need to get the South Carolina team from 2 years ago where they seemingly came out of nowhere and won a lot of early games, or the Missouri from last year where they completely flipped the script on everybody. But you need to find the margins. And I think an easy way to kind of find the margins is literally just go back to last year's standings. Look at the teams that finished in maybe the bottom five, bottom six of some major conferences or the SoCon or whatever league it may be, and just say, hey, out of these bottom five or six teams, which have that kind of offensive or player upside defensively to really elevate the program to the next level? And I think the Big Ten is a perfect example where year after year after year, there are clumps in the middle of that conference, which really don't separate the bottom from the top by a whole lot of games. And so flipping the script in that regard can be very, very doable in just one offseason. I look at Iowa last year in kind of the bottom four of the Big Ten, a 7-13 Big Ten record. They could easily be elevated into the top five when it's all said and done on the Big Ten schedule this season. I also look at a team like USC, one tick above them, 7-13 overall record in the Big Ten last year. All of a sudden, a lot of offensive upside, a really great head coach. And again, that's what we're kind of getting at is which one of those kind of bottom end or even middling teams has that chance to leap above, and vice versa, which one of those top five teams that finished last year in the top five have that potential downside? Like, for example, a Marquette comes to mind immediately for me in the Big East. So that's where I think the betting value really comes into play right out the gate. And ultimately, that's how I actually judge how I'm going to be taking spreads in the early goings.
And I absolutely love that thought there. And just looking at some of these teams that they are going to have a lot of chemistry versus teams that are not, I think it's so important this time of year as well. And Rob, how do you take a look at some of these coaches in year number one? Because you were bringing up Iowa with Ben McCollum, and yes, he is taking over Iowa, but at the same time, he's bringing over a lot of guys with him, and that's something that I like to see. I've brought this up on the podcast quite a bit, but I always like it when you have compound transfers, multiple guys from the same school going to a new place, like with Creighton bringing in multiple guys from, you guessed it, Iowa. That's a team that I think is going to be able to provide some value, and those are the sorts of teams that I feel like could be undervalued in the early going. Meanwhile, if you have a coach that brought over none of his guys, like, I hate to say it, but Villanova with Kevin Willard brought over darn near nobody from Maryland. That's a team that I'm probably not going to be trusting in quite as much towards the early going.
Right. And I think even you look at Ed Cooley, a guy who we acknowledge as being a very, very good coach, a program builder type of guy. You know, things haven't really worked out swimmingly, I guess, in his early goings at Georgetown. And a lot of that was because of, you know, I attribute it to how he left Providence. It wasn't really on the greatest of terms. He didn't bring over a lot of that energy and a lot of his players to rebuild immediately back up that foundational support within the program. And yeah, to your point, a lot of programs fall into that sort of issue where it's just a fresh start with a new head coach that, yeah, was very successful at his last stop. But now his goal is to get 12 players, 13 players, 14 players on the same path as the previous team without bringing it over that previous team. That's a tall task in 1 year or 2 years. Heck, even 3 years is kind of one kind of marquee year, because at that point you are starting to get your players in the building, but it's not a seemingly easy process on the front end of that tenure typically. And so that's ultimately what I kind of gear in on is a team like Rutgers. It would not surprise me one bit if they're just back up to competing in the top level of the Big Ten or in the high middle of the Big Ten, because Pikel's been there for a long time. They have a lot of his guys in the building. That transition year over year could be very, very easy. Whereas, you know, USC, we saw it in the early goings with Eric Musselman. great coach. They are bringing in some good transfers. The energy didn't really feel like it was in the building. Ultimately, I think that's the biggest thing when we're looking at these young head coaches, whether it's in the Big Ten or, say, you know, the Big South or the SoCon. Is there energy behind the program? Or, and I don't want to single out Frank Martin here, but do you have a guy like a Frank Martin who's a good coach, is a very good X's and O's guy, is going to be able to maximize maybe a lack of exuberant level team? Sure, but a lot of those guys just end up cashing checks in my mind and aren't really there for that high-end upside. They just kind of have their little tier that they sit in, and that's just who they are throughout the entire year.
Yep, and I think that those are such great points that you bring up, Rob. And Rob, I know that you're doing such a great job of getting set for the upcoming college basketball season. So I want to ask you this, as I know you're doing all of your research and you're taking a look at things from many different perspectives over the last few weeks here in the month of October. Have there been a few teams that you have changed your mind on, whether that be to the positive or the negative, whether that's feeling a little bit more bullish or a little bit more bearish on a team? Is there just a team in general that you're having a little bit of a change of heart on?
I think there's a lot of teams on the top end of college basketball right now where I've done a little bit of a flip. You know, right now, BYU, for example, is one of those teams where I see the appeal. I see the talent. I see the excitement level that they had last year when they made the dance. And it kind of feels like that program is moving the right trajectory, or right trajectory rather. But what actually comes to play when you have those expectations for the first time, really, since, like, man, how far do you have to go back? Jimmer. I was going to say Jimmer. Like, I don't remember the expectation levels being this crazy high. And I think this is even surpassing the Jimmer era, because the amount of talent that they are just getting in surplus amounts in the program this season via the transfer portal, via the high school recruiting rankings. Do I want to buy into that team and buy into that upside when everybody's doing so? Probably not. And so BYU in the early goings is probably actually going to be one of the teams that, when they are going up against competent competition, I actually want to be on the other side of. And that's scary because they're very talented, but I think that's the right call in those types of spots.
And you actually tee me up for this as well, because as we are recording this on DraftKings, we've got two lines available in college basketball. A whopping two, but one of those is BYU versus Villanova, and that is a game where BYU is currently a 7.5-point favorite out here in lovely Las Vegas, total of 153.5. How would you take a look at that? Because I know that you've talked very bearishly about Villanova. You just brought up BYU, and I do think that with BYU, I actually would probably be willing to lay it if I had to do it right now against a Villanova team that Kevin Willard said was very banged up coming into the year.
And this is one of those kind of unique scenarios where, yes, I am I'm very bearish on Villanova. I'm also now pessimistic about BYU. This is ultimately more than likely a stay away type of game. But if I were taking one of the sides and I see a 7-point line out there, if that's actually what comes to fruition, and that's actually what's out there right now, it's one of those things where you probably just take the points. It's very, very early. Both teams are figuring it out, as much as one might be banged up and one isn't, and that one has that upside and they aren't the banged up team. I think more so than anything is everybody's buying into BYU. Why is that line only 7 points? That's probably my early thought process, but again, not crazy about either team right now, and that's probably one of those games that I just watch and I analyze, and I have that takeaway for the future games that they play.
Well, we finally got to break down a game, Rob, and right, you know, much more of that moving forward. I know you're doing an absolutely incredible job getting set for what is going to be an amazing season, so let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Well, hey, Greg, that was a fun little taste. And yeah, man, I'm so excited to be breaking down these basketball games. We got the World Series, college football, NFL, college basketball in our lives. It's a really great time to be a sports bettor or a sports betting fan. And if you are wanting to follow my bets night by night, Twitter/X at RobDFB, and also on my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Rob Donaldson. But as always, Greg, I appreciate having me on, man.
And the next time Rob joins us, we're going to be breaking down more than just one game with him, as I know Rob, he does an amazing job on this great sport of college basketball, and every single time he joins me, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Rob for joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiP Family Podcast. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at GUnit_81. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And we're up to over 2,160 straight days without a missed college basketball podcast, so you can bank on me being back with you guys once again tomorrow. And for these next few days leading up to the upcoming college basketball season, I'll be looking at any sort of nooks and crannies that I have yet to dive in on. Obviously, we'll be keeping you guys abreast of any sort of injury information, any guys that become eligible / ineligible. Certainly, I've been looking at that Tyon Grant Foster situation over the last few days on this podcast, so you'll be getting all that. And then starting up on Monday, picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. It doesn't matter if we've got like 2 games on the card or if we have, I know that we've had north of 150 games on a few cards. You're going to get picks and analysis and my handicap for every single game, every single day. We're almost there. So I appreciate you tuning in today, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.